In today's scripture readings, Jesus is very, very critical. I shouldn't say Jesus, but God is very critical of priests and also of the laity. So we come to church this Sunday to be criticized, which is a good thing because it helps us to understand how we can change and be better. So let's look at the criticism of the priests first. Today's first reading is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Malachi. And the context is important. This is the context. You know, the Jewish people were required by God to offer sacrifices, animal sacrifices in the temple. And they were, of course, expected to offer the first fruits and the best animals. But, like human beings do, they tried to get away from, or get away with, doing less than God wanted them to do. And one of the things they did was bring defective animals for sacrifice. I don't know, a sheep that was sick, or some birds that were dying. They weren't very useful anyway. You know, and these sacrifices were symbols of the Jewish people offering themselves to God, giving God something that was precious to them. And sometimes the priests would cooperate with this deception. They would get bribed to offer a defective animal in sacrifice. And that is what God is criticizing through the prophet Malachi in today's first reading. He's criticizing the priests for cooperating with the selfish sinfulness of the people. So let's look at the reading with that in mind. This is what he says. And now, O priest, so I'm thinking of myself, and also of your pastor, Father Gill, who's sitting in the congregation. This commandment is for you. If you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. So what the Lord is saying, that if the priests don't listen with their hearts to God, I mean, take God seriously, God will send a curse upon them. So that's criticism number one. There's actually three criticisms in this reading. Here's criticism number two. You have turned aside from my way and have caused many to falter by your instructions. In other words, these priests were giving false teaching, either because they wanted to please the people or because they didn't study. You know, they're responsible for passing God's word to the people, and they didn't do that because of laziness or because of a desire to please people. So the first is not to take God seriously. The second is not to take the people we serve seriously and to give them God's word rather than our own. And there's a third one. I have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you show partiality in your decisions. In other words, they weren't treating people fairly. They were favoring their friends. Instead of serving all God's people, they picked and chose. Maybe they liked the wealthy or the ones who were their personal friends or whatever. So the responsibility of the priest was to love God with all their hearts, to preach the word of God clearly to the people, and to love all of them equally. And because they didn't, they received these curses from God. So those of us who sit in the chair, whether it's the bishop's chair or the priest's presider chair, are often criticized in the scriptures, and we ought to take God's criticism seriously. Now, the beauty of this Sunday is today's second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, is a positive lesson to the clergy about how to serve God's people. So listen to what St. Paul says about his ministry, because he's pointing to himself as an example of good Christian ministry. St. Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother cares for her children." You know, in other words, those of us who are your fathers in Christ, you know, you call priests father, despite what Jesus says in today's gospel, are supposed to love you as tenderly as a nursing mother loves her children. I was talking to a friend today who is a new father, and he was telling me how difficult it is to take care of the baby because the baby always wants the mother rather than the father. I guess because the baby spent 9 months next to the mother's heart, the baby can tell the difference when the baby's being held by the father or the mother. But you know, mother's love is considered the most tender kind of love possible. And so those of us who are called to serve you in the church as your pastors are supposed to love you as mothers love their nursing children. Pretty big requirement. But St. Paul goes on to say more. He says, "With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well." You know, that we're called to give the people the gospel, but not in some kind of distant, you know, objective way, but to give them the gospel by giving them ourselves, which is a very serious kind of commitment, you know, to not to love people coldly and objectively, but very personally. And then he says one more thing. Working night and day, oh, he says, I better start another place. "You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and our drudgery, working every day and night in order not to burden any of you. In doing this, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." You know, St. Paul was a tent maker. He made little tents that people used to sell things, you know, like in the marketplace. That's the kind of tent maker he was. And he didn't get a salary for being an apostle because he wanted to show the people that he wasn't in doing this to make money. He wasn't in it for himself, but he was in it simply to preach the gospel. So St. Paul says three things here. He says, we're supposed to love like a mother, we have to give you our very selves, and we're not even going to expect anything in return. We'll take care of ourselves. So that's now Father Gill and I get salaries. So we're not actually following this literally. But he and I don't know how to make tents. You know, so this is what we have to do in order to survive as priests. So this is quite a demanding expectation of the scriptures for those who serve you as your priests. But you don't get away without criticism today, because in today's gospel, Jesus is criticizing the laity. And the laity that are serious about being serious about God. You know, he's talking to the Pharisees, who were the most serious of the Jews in terms of being faithful to the Torah, and he's speaking to the doctors of the law, the scribes, those who studied the scriptures and then passed the lessons on to others. And these were laity. You know, the priests served in the temple, but the laity served as the masters of the synagogues, where the teaching ordinarily took place in the local communities of the Jews. So he's speaking to the laity. So this is your turn now to hear what words of criticism God has for you through the teachings of Jesus. So Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seats on the chair of Moses." You know, the chair, the stone chair in the synagogues was a symbol of the teaching authority of the rabbi, who was passing on to the Jewish people the lessons that he had learned from the Torah, which was given by Moses. So the scribes and Pharisees have authority because they have the responsibility of passing on the teachings of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. But do not follow their example. Do what they teach, but don't follow their example. And then he says why. For they preach, but they do not practice. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Now, phylacteries, I don't know if you've been to Orthodox Jewish services, but the men still use phylacteries. They're little leather boxes that are filled with scrolls upon which are written some of the words of the Torah. And they literally took the words of Moses to heart when he said you should keep the Word of God before your eyes constantly. So they put the Word of God in these boxes and tied them to their foreheads in order to symbolize the Word of God is right before their eyes. And some of them began to get really big phylacteries. I mean, they went from little boxes to big boxes and bigger boxes in order for people to notice them. And the tassels on their garments, according to the Old Testament, were to be symbols to remind them to follow the law. And they lengthened the tassels that were on their garments. Jesus goes on to say, they love places of honor at banquets. They like to be sitting up front. Seats of honor in synagogues, the teaching chair. Greetings in the marketplace, and the salutation, Rabbi, teacher, you know, signs of respect. But as for you, Jesus is telling us who are his disciples, do not be called Rabbi. So those of you who are public school teachers or Catholic school teachers are told by Jesus here not to let them call you teacher. If you take him literally. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers, you're all equal. And of course, the one teacher is the Messiah. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. No, God is our father. Do not be called master, for you have one master, the Messiah. And the greatest among you must be your servant. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. You know, that all of us who have positions of responsibility in the community, whether it's teacher or the father of a family or the father of a religious community, all of that is derivative from God. You know, we participate somehow in the fatherhood of God, in the teaching authority of God, but it all comes from Him, and none of it is a result of our own doing or our own ability. I mean, he's really not saying that, you know, sometimes our Protestant brothers and sisters say that we're violating the gospel by calling our priest father, but they don't seem to see the same thing about their dads, and they still call them fathers. Because we all understand, I think intuitively, that Jesus is using hyperbole, right? Exaggerated language to make a clear point. And the clear point is, do not take yourself seriously in the sense of thinking you're more important than anyone else. And he closes the teaching with these words. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So how do we apply that to today's situation? Let's say in the church this evening. Do any of you in your religious practice, when you come to church on Sunday, do religious things in order to be noticed? That you genuflect more deeply than anybody else? Or you bow more profoundly than anyone else, you know? Or that you hold your hands more piously than anyone else? I mean, there's nothing wrong with kneeling and genuflecting and bowing. In fact, we're supposed to do those things, but not to be noticed. To do it for the Lord and not for ourselves. But we have the temptation to do things to be noticed. I don't do that so much anymore, you know, as I'm an older person, but I remember when I was in high school, and I went to a high school seminary where we all were supposed to try to be holy, and I would really try to hold my hands straighter than anyone else and kneel longer, you know, don't sit down, but kneel longer than the rest of them, because I wanted to appear to be holy. I also wanted to be holy, but I'd like to appear to be holy too. I think it's still a temptation, even for those of us who are older sometimes, right? Another thing Jesus criticizes here is a love for titles. Your Excellency, or Your Grace. That's what we call bishops. You know, in the British form, archbishops are called Your Grace, and bishops are called Your Excellency. In America, we just call bishops Your Excellency, but I don't know what's excellent about it, any of us, actually. You know, I'm not attached to those, but I guess some of us could be. Or priests want to be Monsignors, or deacons want to be the archdeacons, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, and there is a lot of competition among bishops who want to be archbishops, you know, to get a bigger diocese, because it looks like you're more talented if you get a big place. So if that's a temptation among the clergy, it's also a temptation among the laity. If not in the church, in other contexts, right? In your work, in your family, even fathers who want to be in charge of the household can be preoccupied with having positions and having a title. So what Jesus is telling us here is his followers should not have an exalted impression of themselves. The only one exalted in the church is God. And the rest of us are to be servants of one another. Now, there's another issue that I'd like to just touch on briefly, which is the issue of ambition. What place does ambition have in the lives of Christians? Is it always wrong to be ambitious? Actually, I like it when seminarians are ambitious. We have five of them with us today serving Mass. And sometimes in the past, I haven't done it with this group, I don't think, I scandalize the seminarians by telling them that they should want to be bishops. They say, oh, that's terrible. I want to be a bishop, you know. It's so proud. But, you know, bishops have a lot of influence, for good or for bad, right? And they can make all the difference in the world in a diocese. And I think it's a good thing for our priests to want to make a diocese better. You know, I think our priest should be ambitious about wanting to be the pastor of a parish rather than only to be the assistant, although assistants are really necessary too. So I think you don't have much energy in the church unless there is ambition. But we have to order our ambition to Christ to make sure that our ambition is the same as his. You know, the competition in the church among the clergy should be a competition for holiness. You know, I mean, they should want to do the best they can for the glory of God and the good of others after the passion of Jesus Christ. So sometimes ambition results in downward mobility rather than upward mobility in the church, in the sense that you want to serve those who are most in need. And you have to be lowly if you're going to be exalted. Isn't that what Jesus said? So we have to order the ambition in the church after the pattern of Jesus Christ. But the same thing should be true about you. I mean, if you're working for the post office, you should want to be postmaster general. You know, if you're working as a lawyer, you should want to be the head of the firm. If you're a teacher, you should want to be principal, maybe. You know what I'm saying. I mean, you should want to be the master teacher or the one who can do the most good. You know? But all of that has to be patterned after the mind and heart of Jesus Christ. Because those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. So that's the lesson of today's scripture readings. Now, let's go home and take them to heart, beginning with our families, looking at our work, looking at our lives, planning for our futures, you know. And if we do that, after the pattern and the heart of Jesus Christ, we will be forces for transformation in our world.